This is Jay Sekulow. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas says millions will descend upon Jerusalem.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The leader of the Lebanese militant group Hezbollah threatened to retaliate against Israel for attacks over the weekend that killed two of its fighters. This as the Israelis have deployed an additional missile defense system to the northern part of their country. All of this coming as tensions do continue to rise in the Middle East.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
On Saturday, Israel struck a target in Syria that was allegedly preparing to launch a major attack against the country. A wing of Iran's Revolutionary Guard was reportedly going to use killer drones to target Israelis. Less than an hour after the strike, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu tweeted, quote, "Iran has no immunity anywhere. Our forces operate in every sector against the Iranian aggression. If someone rises up to kill you, kill him first."
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
So Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas threatens this week that, ready for this quote, millions of fighters would swarm Jerusalem and topple the Jewish state capital, warning that, quote, this is, again, a quote from him, no matter how many houses and how many settlements they declare that they will plan to build here and there, is what he says, they shall all be destroyed. This is what Abbas said. So this is the partner for peace, Mahmoud Abbas. Let me say it again. Millions of fighters would swarm Jerusalem and topple the Jewish state's capital city, warning that no matter how many houses and how many settlements they declare that they plan to build, they shall all be destroyed. He also said in Arabic at a refugee camp near Ramallah that was heavy with threats of destruction, doubled down on the Palestinian government's policy of using public money to pay convicted terrorists and their families, telling his audience, "We will not accept their designation of our martyrs as terrorists. Our martyrs are the martyrs of the homeland." These martyrs, as they call them, which are really terrorists, actually kill Israeli civilians. In fact, they've killed American civilians, students who have been over in Israel. One I remember most recently from Vanderbilt University.
Yeah, so this which created a U.S. law, Taylor Force Act, which has been, adopted by Congress. This is the follow-up to that quote, continues by Mahmoud Abbas. "We will not allow them to deduct a single penny from their money. All the money will go back to them because the martyrs, the wounded, and the prisoners are the most sacred things we have." Remember, we call this pay to slay program. And these terrorists, whether they are 18-year-old girls like we talked about, that the group that was sponsoring Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib's trip to Israel that got canceled, that group was praising as a part of the resistance. Whether it's an 18-year-old girl, a 40-year-old father, the money, they tell these families, hey, you'll get $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 if you carry out these attacks on civilians.
Now, by the way, when we talk about this pay-to-slay issue, it's this idea that they pay money to the terrorist families after they've committed an atrocity against innocent civilians. They then, and let's say they're killed in the action because Israeli Defense Forces take them out. What happens then, and this is important to understand, is the Palestinian Authority pays those families it's usually about $20,000 a year. Yeah. Now, let me tell you what's interesting about that. Where's that money coming from? Ask yourself that. It's coming from outside governmental money. It could be coming from U.S. dollars, for all we know. I mean, this is, you know, obviously not authorized, but that's what they do. So you've got this culture that they have there. And meanwhile, the pressure is, can we get a peace plan? Are you going to get a peace plan with a group that's trying to tell you that they're going to basically destroy Jerusalem? Or is it time for there to be a change in the leadership within the Palestinian Authority? And I think that is what the Palestinian people are coming to recognize, as a poll recently showed that the president's peace plan is getting good support in the Palestinian Authority. Why? Because they know that their existing leadership is ruining, continues to put on a ruinous path. Now, let me say one other thing here. We've got an office in Jerusalem. We're sending five of our team to the UN in New York this week. So we're not just talking about these issues. We're engaged in them. And don't forget our matching challenge campaign.
That's right. This month of August, it's so critical. You can double the impact of your donation to the ACLJ. That's at ACLJ.org. Double the impact of your donation. Make that donation today. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. .org. Donate today. Your donation will be doubled. It's a critical time.
At
the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
I want to play for you in Arabic what Mahmoud Abbas is saying. I'll tell you what it means, and you'll hear him say something. Then you're going to also hear a chant. Take a listen.
Al-Quds, mahma qalu, muwahhadatun tanqudu safara, na'mal kaza, Al-Quds lana raghma anfihim.
So here's what that says. Whatever they call it, then talking about the United States, they moved their embassy, but Jerusalem is ours whether they like it or not. And then the chant is, to Jerusalem we march, martyrs by the millions. And they keep repeating that over and over again, which is it is an Arabic utilization of language, of motivating their, you remember this during some of you old enough to remember, the Iranian hostage regime, when the Iranians took the Americans during the Iranian Revolution. The Revolutionary Guard just came back in power. The Ayatollah came back in, and they took the American hostages at the embassy. They did the same thing. They would say, listen and repeat, and that's how they did it. You know, we hate America, or America's the great Satan. That's what they would say. And they would say, listen and repeat, and you would pick this up in the translations of it. So this is part of the rhetoric. This is the ground rhetoric. This is what's taking place on the ground in the Palestinian Authority. Now, I think that here's the dilemma that Mahmoud Abbas has. The president is rolling out and has rolled out portions of the peace plan that pumps a lot of money into that economy. And the people are saying, you know, that money means food and medicine and schooling, but you got in those schools, you're not going to be teaching the destruction of the state of Israel. So there's going to be strings attached to that money, but these are appropriate. So you've got to understand that what's going on the ground there. Now, at the American Center for Law and Justice, also understand this. We have an office in Jerusalem, fully staffed, government affairs, lawyers as well. This is full staff. We also have, and this is important to understand, a team going to the United Nations this week. They're going to be dealing with issues involving Israel. They'll be dealing with issues involving Christian persecution in other countries where we've got these reports that we've issued. In fact, this is a copy. I'm holding this for our TV audience. This is a copy of what's going to the UN. This is called, it's from our European Center for Law and Justice, Advocating for Human Rights. It's the 2018-29 report to the United States General Assembly. Jordan is executed a letter that goes with this. It talks about the ECLJ, and then in it highlights various countries that we are not just talking about these issues, we're actually engaged in these issues. So that's what's going on right now on the ground. But understand the rhetoric. Millions descending on Jerusalem. This is all to try to maintain power. That's what this really is.
Absolutely right. And this idea, again, I think that the Palestinian Authority realized that they are being pushed by their own people, that things are not moving in the direction they wanted, that this administration is that much tougher on them, is not really going to bend at all to their will. They had that chance, the Obama administration, they still couldn't figure anything out. They had 8 years of Barack Hussein Obama as president, a guy who was no real big fan of Israel, let's be honest. And still, the Palestinians were too off-putting for him to deal with. That's the truth. They were too corrupt, too dangerous, and too violent for even Barack Obama's White House and teams and negotiators to come up with a deal. What do you think President Trump's team is going to be able to do? Well, they're going to take the hardline, tough approach. And so if Mahmoud Abbas's initial response to that is going to be death to all Israelis, basically start sounding like an Ayatollah. Do you know what will end up like? You know what will end up to Mahmoud Abbas ultimately? It will not be a nice ending. You know, it will not be a nice ending for him because ultimately they're the people there want to eat. They want to have decent services. And when you go and say, our martyrs are our martyrs, we're going to continue to pay for slay and the prisoners, and we're going to keep the money going to them. Do you know what that means? You're going to keep paying terrorists and not funding schools. You're going to keep paying radical jihadist terrorists to attack Israeli civilians, but you're not going to pay for basic services for your people. So the money's either going into the pockets of Mahmoud Abbas and his henchmen or the pockets of terrorist families.
Let me read a couple questions that come in by Facebook. By the way, we'll take your calls on the phone as well at 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Tony on Facebook said, what is the tipping point with the dangerous rhetoric? Well, I think they're at it right now. I think what Jordan just said is absolutely correct. I think they're at that tipping point right now, actually. They're trying to start another intifada because they know this peace plan is going to be very attractive to the population. So the Palestinian people are going to like this idea of economic improvement, political. There's political aspects to it. We call it the first part that came out was the economic phase of this. There'll be a political phase of this. So Mahmoud Abbas is trying to stir up this rhetoric. Why? To keep power. We also have Carl on Facebook said, I'd love to hear Representatives Omar and Tlaib try to justify this rhetoric. I think after their experience last week, where they're probably staying, are they laying pretty low right now, Will? Pretty low. Yeah, we're not hearing a lot out of them right now after they were going to go to visit Israel, or as they called it, Palestine. And there is no Palestine, the state of Palestine. They were going to go over, try to get a Palestine visa. I mean, think about that for a minute. Or a passport. So here's what you have. They were connecting with a group that has known ties to terrorists. And this is the problem. So Mahmoud Abbas then says this. We shall not, I think about this if you're the neighbor, if you're Israel. We shall enter Jerusalem, millions of fighters, he says. We shall enter it all of us, the entire Palestinian people, the Arab nation, the Islamic nation, and the Christian nation. They shall all enter Jerusalem. First of all, ask Christians in the West Bank and Gaza whether they'd rather be under Israeli government protection or under Hamas. And they'll tell you, if they're telling you the truth, and we represent a lot of Palestinian Christians. Well, in fact, we've represented Palestinian Christian families that have had their husbands killed because they operated a Bible society, a Bible bookstore in Gaza. So when people say to me, you don't understand the plight of the Palestinian people, my response to that is always the same. Really? We represented them. We have an office in Jerusalem. We got a family out of Gaza whose husband, Rami Ayad, was stabbed 37 or 38 times. Why? Because he operated a Christian bookstore in Gaza. So Mahmoud Abbas doesn't need to be telling us about the Christians in the Holy Land, you know, coming in to take over Jerusalem. That's just not the reality of what's on the ground. Lee on Facebook said, do you believe the president's peace plan could force the Palestinian Authority to rethink their approach to Israel?
I think that, honestly, there's always a rethinking option, and they could change their rhetoric very quickly. I think what we've seen coming out of the Palestinian Authority right now is this doubling down of extreme rhetoric. And like you said, Dad, I think it is an attempt to thwart that, because the public certainly does want a peace plan. I think that they want a peace plan. They're not, the average public is not sending their sons and daughters to die as what he calls martyrs or terrorists. It's not worth it even for the money for them. So what does he need to do? He has to stir up the populace and whip them up into such a frenzy that it does become a mass wave of violence. And if you have a mass wave of violence, an Intifada Part 3 uprising, then it won't matter what their peace plan is. It won't really ever have be considered. If you aren't able to do that, so this will be a key time for the Palestinian populace, because if you're not able to do that, it will actually get, it'll be forced to get real consideration. And I think that's going to be key. Will Palestinians actually have the time? Will there be a period of relative calmness to actually consider this peace plan? Or is he going to basically try, which he's definitely trying, we don't have to question this if he's trying, is he going to be successful? Because these are corrupt, crony leaders who line their pockets with billions of dollars, and their families who are living all over Europe, not in the Palestinian territories, they see that would be the end of their power.
Let me say this also, and I say this to show you to give an understanding of what we're dealing with. This is, again, Mahmoud Abbas's own words. We shall remain here, talking about Israel, and nobody can remove us from our homeland. If they want, they themselves can leave. So there's your two-state solution answer. Those who are foreign to this land have no right to it. That's talking about the Israelis. So we say to them, every stone that you have to build our land and every house you have built on our land is bound to be destroyed, Allah willing. So this is your partner for peace. But you know what? The Palestinian people do not want this. By the way, this isn't Hamas. This is the Palestinian Authority's leadership, which is the old Palestinian Liberation Organization, which was terrorist too. But then they kind of morphed into a more moderate political party, so-called. This is the moderate political party. And then they say, homes and cities built by Jews and other ethnic groups living in Israel will all go to the garbage bin of history. This is from the guy you're trying to cut a peace deal with. So the people in the Palestinian territory need to understand what they've got, and I think they know it. These are smart people. They know it has not worked. They know it continues to not work. These refugee camps have been around for 70 years. When we come back from the break, we're going to be joined by our two senior military analysts and senior counsel, Skip Ash, and who's a retired colonel, United States Army, and then Colonel Wes Smith as well, senior military analyst, to talk about the legal implications of this. And Mike Pompeo said Sunday, Israel's right to defend itself from threats by the Iranians is real, and the U.S. will back it. Your calls and comments, 1-800-684-3110. How important is it to you that we stand with Israel? I want to hear that from you. 1-800-684-3110. We'll take your calls, comments coming in by Periscope and Facebook. We're getting a lot of those. If you want to talk to us on air, 800-684-3110. How big of an issue is this for you in the upcoming election, support of the Jewish state of Israel? 800-684-3110. Again, don't forget the matching challenge campaign.
It is time for you to donate, and we need your financial support to the ACLJ. Doubly impact your donation today, the month of August, aclj.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Calls are coming in, comments coming in too. Skip Ash has joined us, as has Wes Smith. Wes has got a piece up, what you need to know about efforts to delegitimize Israel. But I want to focus, and that's at aclj.org. I want to focus right now, though, on what we see happening, Skip, on the ground. I mean, you got the rhetoric coming from Mahmoud Abbas. You and I have been there many, many times. I've been over into the refugee camps. I've been over into the Palestinian Authority controlled areas. We know what this is. I mean, this is politics.
It absolutely is. But it's also a sign of weakness. Right now, even the Sunni world is turning on the Palestinians because they have cried wolf so many times. They've been given opportunities to have a state. Israel has given almost everything they've asked for, and they've turned it down multiple times. So they've cried wolf once too many times, and now that we have a president here who's acting on behalf of Israel and not taking no for an answer, and if the Palestinians balk, he goes the next step anyway, what's happening is they don't know how to react. So now they're trying to stir up an outward enemy, trying to get the Palestinian people focused on an outward enemy. I'm not sure it's going to work this time because our president communicates directly with the people, and he is talking about what he wants to do for them and improve their lives. And I think that's resonating with many of the Palestinians who have seen too many dead ends.
You know, Wes, you've got a piece up at aclj.org said what you need to know about efforts to delegitimize Israel. But what's fascinating to me is you've got all this rhetoric coming out of Mahmoud Abbas this past weekend, and you cannot even find this on the mainstream media.
No, there is selective indignation when it comes to Israel and the Palestinians. You know, and people think of Abbas as being a moderate guy. He is not. He was Yasser Arafat's number two man and inherited that mantle. Who was Yasser Arafat? He founded Fatah, which was responsible for multiple bombings, hijackings of airplanes, assassinations. This is his number two guy. So he puts a nice suit on and tries to present well, but he is not a moderate person. And he's really crossed a line, I think, in calling for Jerusalem to be invaded by millions of Palestinian fighters.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, okay, as you alluded to, the Palestinian people suffer because the Palestinian Authority and their other organizations are corrupt. The leadership have fat bankrolls. They live extremely well while the Palestinian people suffer.
So what we've got going on is our office in Jerusalem fully engaged on this. Now, our office in France, in Strasbourg, where we have our European Center for Law and Justice, has filed a report with the United Nations General Assembly, and we've got a team of five, both lawyers and government affairs officials, going up to the UN's meeting this week to meet with various embassies on a whole host of these issues. So, again, it's just important for you to understand at the ACLJ, we don't just talk about these issues. We're engaged in it. These are legal documents that are being filed. We've got meetings where we're advocating various positions. That's what we do. All right, we're going to take some phone calls. I said we would at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and grab a call.
Let's go to Chris in Nevada on line one. Chris, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Chris.
Hi. To what extent do Congresswomen Tlaib and Omar get intel between Israel and the United States?
Well, Omar, I'd say she would get the most, and that's because she's on the Foreign Affairs Committee. So she's not part of the Gang of Eight that gets the most confidential classified information. Those are the leaders of Congress. But by being on the Foreign Affairs Committee, she certainly gets classified information. So that would include on all foreign policy. And that would include, of course, the state of Israel. So she would be one of a select group of probably about 60, 70 members of Congress that gets the most out of 435. I'd say it's less than that. It's probably 50 members of Congress that gets the most information on the state of Israel. And that is because Nancy Pelosi decided to put her with all the rhetoric, with all the questions about who she even is, who she's even been married to in the past, who her family is, the multiple tax documents, the multiple people, and her statements, of course, on foreign policy. Remember, it is the leader, the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, the top Democrat elected in the United States, who chose Ilhan Omar to get top secret information about the state of Israel.
So let me tell you what the Prime Minister of Israel has tweeted out, Skip, and get your comments on this. He says, in a major operational effort, we've thwarted an attack against Israel by the Iranian Quds forces and Shiite militias. I reiterate, he says, Iran has no immunity anywhere. Our forces operate in every sector against the Iranian aggression. And then he says, if someone rises up to kill you, kill him first, which is a motto, if you will, of some of the Israeli Secret Service kind of forces.
Well, right. Every nation has a right to national self-defense. And remember what Iran's goal is. They want to create this arc of nations from Iran through Iraq, Syria, Lebanon to encounter Israel on its own borders. And they're willing to do whatever they have to do to try to bring the war to Israel. We no longer are dealing with a Jewish people that are going to quietly march into ovens. These are people who are going to stand up. They're going to defend themselves. They are proud. They are capable. And they will do what's necessary to defend Israel and the Israeli people. And they deserve our support and our prayers and our attention. And they're getting it from this president. And I'm very proud of our president for standing up for them.
You know, what Skip alluded to was in the Nazi era, there was a sense that the Jews voluntarily, which, by the way, wasn't voluntarily, but they were just outnumbered, out-controlled, and you had the horror of the Holocaust. And that the idea in a post-Holocaust environment is that the Jewish state is tough. There will always be a refuge for the Jewish people in the state of Israel, Jewish people from the diaspora around the globe. And that's important. And when you go there, you learn it and you understand why Israel is so protective of its internal rights to exist and also its national security. It's not something that can be taken for granted. I want to take Phyllis's comment here because I think her phone call is really important.
Yeah, Phyllis in New York, online 3. Phyllis, welcome to JSEC Yo Live.
Hey, Phyllis.
Hi. Anyone just looking at their own self-interest should be supporting the state of Israel. God says in his word, those who bless them, I will bless, and those who curse them, I will curse. This is in more than one place in the Bible, and it isn't just related to one incident. And history has proven it, too.
You're 100% correct. And again, I have a lot of sympathy and empathy for the Palestinian people, the people in the Palestinian territory. I have zero empathy for their government, which is completely corrupt, which is dangerous to the Palestinian people, and has kept them impoverished. And we're going to be offering, the United States is going to be offering a peace plan. It's going to be a deal that I don't think you're going to be able to turn down. And the fact of the matter is, if the Palestinian Authority, because they know that, that's why they're trying to incite right now, Wes. That's why they're trying to incite, because they know what's coming is going to be very hard for the Palestinian people, the people living in the Palestinian territories, to turn down.
Oh, yeah. They are disenchanted with their leadership. They understand, I think, at some level why they're suffering and why the needs are so great there. The events of the last few days, though, Jay, are very significant. This is the first time that Israel has accused Iran of a major impending attack on the state of Israel. This was not an isolated one or two drones coming across the border. This was a major operation that Israeli intelligence had been monitoring for months. And they did a preemptive strike to stop what would have been a major drone attack against Israel, against innocent civilians.
We're going to talk more about that when we come back from the break. Remember, if you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, Facebook, Periscope, ACLJ.org, for stations all around the country are carrying it. All right, we'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. But don't forget, we don't just talk about it here. We've got a matching challenge going on. Offices in Jerusalem, team up in New York at the UN, support the work of the ACLJ.
That's right, ACLJ.org in the month of August. We come towards the end of the month of August. Double the impact of your donation. Whatever you donate, they have donors ready to match it. Donate today, ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Freedom. Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
You know, as I said at the first half hour of the broadcast, at the American Center for Law and Justice, it's unique among many institutions because we have a full operating office in Jerusalem, really in the heart of Jerusalem. I mean, we could walk from our office to the Temple Mount to the wall in literally minutes, and we're right there in the heart of Jerusalem, and we've been working there for decades. I mean, Jordan and I have done cases at the International Criminal Court in The Hague involving issues involving Israel. We have extensive expertise on this. David Benjamin, who's our senior lawyer there, is also in charge of international law for the Israeli Defense Forces, Israel Defense Forces. Skip has been there a lot working on these issues, met with, and as we all have, members of government leadership and government officials. But also, Skip, you've been to a number of these security conferences where you've participated. We've done work with the Ministry of Justice, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. So again, at the American Center for Law and Justice, we're not just talking about these issues. We know these issues inside and out. We've dealt with them. We understand what's going on the ground, which is different than most groups when you're just talking about it. We're on the ground. We know. All right, we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Let me tell you what I'm asking you. As we approach an election in the United States, how important is it to you that the United States support Israel? And we'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. Now, it's interesting. We talked first about that Mahmoud Abbas is saying that millions of fighters will take over Jerusalem. This is your partner for peace. And then, but Mike Pompeo, our Secretary of State, says this. He said, Israel's right to defend itself from threats posed by the Iranian Revolutionary Guard is real, and that they have the right to do it, and he viewed it as imminent with the threats that are coming from the Iranians. Mike Pompeo then tweeted that he spoke with Benjamin Netanyahu on Sunday regarding the airstrikes in Syria. He wrote, I express my support for Israel's right to defend itself from threats posed by the Iranian Revolutionary Guard and to take action to prevent imminent attacks against Israeli assets. Jordan, first let's define who the Iranian Revolutionary Guard actually is.
The Revolutionary Guard is part of, it's a official state functionary, but it is not part of the Iranian army or military. There is a Iranian navy, an Iranian army that is responsible kind of to the state. The Iranian Revolutionary Guard is responsible directly to the Ayatollah, and they operate within the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, and they're the strongest wing of the military. They operate businesses, the shipping. You know, we hear about these boats that are being stopped and they're being held and sometimes let go, other times being seized by the United States. Those are companies that are shell companies registered by the Revolutionary Guard. So they run the major businesses in Iran. They run the major military in Iran. They run all of the foreign military interventions in Iran. So if there's fighters in Syria that are Iranian, they're Revolutionary Guard. They're not conscripted soldiers in the Iranian military. The Revolutionary Guard. If they are helping with Hezbollah, they're a Revolutionary Guard. And then, of course, they have their terror force, which is known as the Quds Force. That is the one that was directly related to using these drones, which were armed drones, to attempt to attack Israel. So the Quds Force would likely be seen as the most dangerous wing of the Revolutionary Guard.
Right.
Because they carry out terrorist attacks, bombings, kidnappings, assassinations. They are all directly responsible, not to the Iranian people or the Iranian government, but to the Ayatollah, the supreme leader. The religious leaders in Iran control the Revolutionary Guard. And some might say the Revolutionary Guard controls the religious leaders in Iran.
Yeah, and on top of that, Wes, you have, as Jordan said, you have the Iranian army, and it's a real navy. Yeah. It's a real military.
Right, right. But the coordination between those two parts of the military, the Revolutionary Guard Corps and the regular military, there is none. The president, for example, of Iran controls the regular military. The supreme leader, the religious Ayatollah, controls the Revolutionary Guard Corps. And there's some resentment between those two forces because of that.
I want to ask you that those of you that support or have thought about supporting the work of the American Center for Law and Justice to do it today. We're talking about Jerusalem. We're talking about Israel. We're talking about the fact that we are engaged in that issue in a way that a lot of groups can't be. We need the resources to do it. That's why we come to you. So I want you to become part of our team. Today we're focusing on Israel. Tomorrow will probably be a domestic matter. But today it's Israel with all the activity that's taking place this weekend. I encourage you to go to ACLJ.org. We're in a matching challenge campaign. Any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. If someone rises up to kill you, kill him first. Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, in response. Of course, unlike the Muslim world and the extremist world, he's not just like making that comment as a provocative comment that you might hear in mosque, or you might hear by someone like Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, "I will destroy you," or "May Allah destroy you." Now, he was in response to Mahmoud Abbas, the president of the Palestinian Authority, saying, "We will not accept their designation of our martyrs as terrorists." Now, these are specific designations of not soldiers as terrorists, but suicide bombers, people who take knives out and start randomly stabbing people in the street, people who take a bulldozer and run down people in the street. To him, that's not terrorism. Those are martyrs. And we will not allow them to deduct a single penny from their money. So we're going to continue to take the resources of the Palestinian people and give them to these quote-unquote martyr terrorists. Pay for slay. We've talked about the Taylor Force Act a number of times in this broadcast before. Finally, the U.S. government has done something about this. All the money will go back to them because the martyrs and the wounded and the prisoners are the most sacred things we have. You're in a real trouble as a territory, as a nation, as a people. If the most sacred thing you have, you see how religion's not really part of this. You know, they throw around Allah this and Allah that, but it's not really religious at all. The most sacred thing the people have is 20-year-old girls who will strap bombs themselves, fathers who will take a bulldozer and run over Israeli kids in the street, bus drivers who will kill an entire classroom of Israeli kids. That's your most sacred thing as a nation, then you're doomed. You're doomed as a people. You're doomed as a society and as a culture, because that's not acceptable. It never has been acceptable. And, Than, that is why the U.S. finally took action through what is called the Taylor Force Act. And I want to remind people, this happened under the Trump administration, obviously through Congress, but under the Trump administration.
Yeah, just last year, Jordan, if it wouldn't have been for the Trump administration insisting on it and demonstrating a willingness to sign it, it wouldn't have happened. And just very succinctly, it's a legislative prohibition from U.S. taxpayers' dollars going to the Palestinian Authority unless they certify that they are not doing pay for slay, which, as you've outlined, Jordan, is compensating those who commit terrorist acts against Israeli citizens or, frankly, against any citizens. But that is essentially what they had been doing for a number of times. And, Jordan, much like other entities that get U.S. taxpayer dollars, it was simply a shell game. At times, they would say U.S. dollars were not being used for this purpose, and they would use other dollars. Of course, our dollars would free it up. But, Jordan, at other times, they would actually brag about the fact that the number of dollars available for the Pay for Slay program was directly proportional to the dollars they got from the United States, and they would raise it or lower it based on that amount. That is now no longer the case. Both the House and the Senate passed a statutory prohibition against those dollars flowing until the program was ended. President Trump signed it. Of course, the Palestinian Authority has done anything but certify that the program is ended. They have actually doubled down, saying they're going to continue on it. As a result, U.S. taxpayer dollars will no longer flow to them in that amount.
All right, folks, we're going to continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We want to talk to you on the air, 1-800-684-3110. Do you agree with the Trump administration's approach? Listen, you work on the peace plan, you work on a deal. At the same time, you have to realize who is going to be sitting across the table, who you're trying to broker this with. And if, as of this weekend, if that person is saying that we will not accept your designation of our martyrs as terrorists, or that we are going to overrun your capital, that's very dangerous. I mean, dangerous to say the least. We wouldn't accept that in the U.S. In the U.S., we wouldn't even be putting together a peace plan with a group like this. We'd say, how do we destroy them? But in the Middle East, things are a bit different, and you have to deal with the realities on the ground. But could you imagine if in Mexico or Canada, the leader was saying things like, millions of fighters will swarm Washington, D.C. and topple America's capital, warning that no matter how many houses and how many settlements they declare they plan to build here and there, they shall all be destroyed. We wouldn't accept that from Mexico or Canada. And we certainly wouldn't work with them on trade. We would put walls and barriers up. We would have to. We would not have direct relations. It would be very difficult to travel between the two places. This is exactly the reality of Israel. It's why there are some walls there. It's why travel is a bit more difficult. Because the people on the literally bordering you are saying, we want to run over your city and destroy everything you've built. And if you're more powerful at that point in time, you're going to do everything you can to stop those crazy people from doing that. And that's what Israel's doing. But you have to have strong U.S. leadership. I think this is going to be key in 2020. Yes. You have to have very strong U.S. leadership to deal with the Middle East in this time. I do think what helps is that the Trump administration has built excellent relationships with the rest of the Muslim world. So you're seeing no pressure from Saudis,
no, I think
from
that's Qataris, been the key.
From others. Saying,
stakeholder buy-in.
The Palestinians. The Egyptians are with us. The Jordanians are with us.
Egyptians, Saudis.
You go around, and the Syria is a failed state.
I think that's been one of the great successes, is having the buy-in from the Muslim, the Arab world. Right, let's go
ahead. The president gets called Islamophobic last week by Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib. He has golf courses in majority Muslim countries who said, yes, you can go ahead. They did the deal. This is not someone Islamophobic. He's just not afraid to call out terrorism, what terrorism is.
Right.
Islamic extremism, what Islamic extremism
is. Our relationship with the Arab world is, I think, the best it's been. I'll get everybody's opinion on this, and we'll try to get this call. If not, we'll get the call from Gary after the break. But I think our relationship with the Islamic world is the best that it's been. I'm going to go to each person, Wes.
Absolutely it is. And the Islamic world has wised up to the Palestinian leadership and their backing by Iran, which is a threat to peace throughout the regions. And they have really allied with Western forces because of the threat that they present.
Harry, I think the strength that we projected has helped the relationship.
Absolutely. So basically, we have strengthened our relationship both with Israel and with moderate Arab leaders in the Middle East. And this is putting massive pressure on the Palestinian Authority leaders, as well as the leaders in Gaza. Those two groups are a clear and present danger to peace, and they are a clear and present danger to the lives of the Palestinian people. And I believe that the Palestinian people crave peace. There's an opportunity for peace, but there needs to be a move to remove these leaders, including Abbas, who wants to unleash millions of fighters to swarm Jerusalem, who wants to continue to pay terrorists and call them martyrs. These acts are not the acts of an individual who wants peace. These are the acts of an individual who wants to receive increasing amounts of money, billions of dollars, so he and his friends can deposit it in Western banks and ignore the plight of the Palestinian people.
Western banks, for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no question. Let's go. Let me ask you, Skip. Now, Skip, you know this region well. You've been there a lot, as I have, as most of us have. I would say that this is our best relationship with Israel, but also with the neighboring Arab states in our lifetime.
I think you're absolutely right. I think the moderate Sunni powers have finally realized that radical Muslims are a greater danger to them than the Israelis. And that's finally come home to them, and they realize that it's the radical Muslims who are stirring up the street, the Muslim street, trying to destabilize the entire Middle East. So they have a stake in moderating that and in bringing more moderation to the entire region.
Yeah, let me ask you this, Than, from a Washington, D.C. perspective and Congress. You're not hearing a lot out of the Democrats, at least in the debates right now, about this issue of Israel, because I shudder to think what some of their responses will be.
Well, you're not hearing a lot about it, George, Jay, and I think that's a problem, actually, because when you have members inside their caucus who are actually attacking the underpinning of the alliance that has allowed the relationship with the Arab world that you're talking about, Jay, and I would really make that case. The intel sharing that we have with Israel, certainly it allows for a targeting identification of those who are inclined to terrorism. Jay, it also exonerates those who are not. So I think that has fostered the good relationship with the Arab world. But the fact that you have members inside that caucus calling for a defunding of Israel, a tearing down of that alliance between the United States, I think those members who are running for president, and certainly the leadership inside both chambers, Jay, they should be a lot louder about it, because those members of their caucus need to be called out for it.
All right, so when we come back from the break, we're going to take your calls. We've got Gary, Phil, and some others holding. 1-800-684-3110. We want to know how important the issue of Israel is in the Middle East to you and these upcoming elections. 800-684-3110. We'll also take some calls from Facebook and Periscope as well. But don't forget the Matching Challenge campaign. This is the last few days here. We're going to have a concert for the Matching Challenge on Wednesday night. We'll replay it on Saturday and probably Sunday as well. But we'll be live at 8 o'clock Eastern time. Some number of new tunes in that as we do for the Matching Challenge campaign.
That's right, folks. Go to ACLJ.org and donate today. That's ACLJ.org. This is a critical time. It's not just for the month. It's not just for the time of year. It's for the rest of the year. Because major planning, you know, we're back to school. People are back to work. The president's, you know, he's no longer in New Jersey. He's back. He's traveling the world. Everything's getting back to full speed. We need you to be with us as well. We need your assistance to get there as well, to do all the work we do. ACLJ.org. Donate today.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, I'm covering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress. The ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
All right, Wednesday night, we're going to have a live concert with the Jay Sekulow Band as we celebrate our Matching Challenge campaign. That concert will re-air this weekend as well at various times on Saturday and Sunday on our social media posts. Jordan's new book, The Next Red Wave, is out at the third week in September. You can pre-order it now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you get your books. We want to encourage you that. Our ACLJ team is in New York, five of our team in New York for the UN General Assembly tomorrow, and I think it's Tuesday and Wednesday, or Wednesday and Thursday, Tuesday and Wednesday. So we got a team there, and of course, our teams around the globe working on so many of these issues. We're taking your calls, 800-684-3110. Gary's been holding for a long time. Let's take him.
Yeah, Gary, we're going to get you a copy of our book, Jerusalem. We were talking about that today. Thanks for holding on, Gary. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you, guys. Yep. I love you guys so much and what you do for America.
Appreciate
and for
it.
Israel, and the support that you give us out here in the public. I support you through a CFC, a payroll deduction organization.
Combined Federal Campaign. That's great.
Yes.
We appreciate
and
it.
And I think a lot of people should realize that they can donate to your organization,
right,
the ACLJ, through payroll deductions. And it's a lot easier than going into the charge card or into the bank account because it comes right out of your payroll. And it's a safe way of doing, you know, supporting you guys. And I also support several charities over in Israel.
That's great. You know, when you do the combined federal campaign, also during the months that we're in a matching challenge campaign, that counts. So it's whatever comes in during that month. So that's a great way to help. And we appreciate you calling in, Gary. We're going to send you the book, Jerusalem. So we'll probably keep you on the line here and get your address. Let's go ahead and take another phone call.
Let's go to Phil in New York on line one. Phil, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you very
hey,
much,
Phil.
My friend.
Yep.
I think that one thing that the Palestinians, or the radical Palestinians, and the Iranians are counting on is that a radical Democrat will become the next president and stab Israel in the back.
I think that they may be hoping that because I don't think they like the fact that Donald Trump's the president, but I've not heard Elizabeth Warren's position yet on Israel. I still think she's going to be the nominee. What do you think of that?
Oh, she's totally with questioning their aid. Yep. She stood with Rashida Tlaib. She's Ilhan. I say this. She's Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib as a president. So if you want that, think about that. I think it's a very dangerous position for the Democrat Party. They've embraced it. The National Democrat Party is now the party of Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar on the issue of Israel, which means the issue of what a year ago Nancy Pelosi said wasn't even aid, but again, it was just cooperation we would work on with Israel.
Right.
A year later, they want to cut that.
I'm going to ask, so Than, what's your thoughts on that? I mean, the shift has been so dramatic. We said this bipartisan consensus on Israel. You don't have that anymore, at least not with the hard left party.
I think silence is enabling, Jay. I mean, look, the increasing cry inside the Democrat Party in Washington, D.C. for stripping the relationship with Israel, and specifically the funds to Israel, is growing, and it's enabled by the leadership being silent, by the leadership not saying anything. I mean, Jordan played several times over the last week the quote from Nancy Pelosi just a year ago talking about how that would never happen. Jay, she is the one responsible for Ilhan Omar's seat on the House Foreign Affairs Committee. She is the one responsible for not having a position coming out and saying, no, our party does not stand for that. We will continue the aid to Israel. So, look, Jay, she's trying to have it both ways. That is not sending a message of solidarity from the United States to Israel. I agree with Jordan. She's complicit in it through her silence.
You know, the only country that has religious freedom in the Middle East is the state of Israel. I mean, that's just fact. I mean, it's just fact. So this idea that Israel's this oppressor is just absurd. We've got a good question, a series of good questions coming in actually on Facebook and Periscope. Wilson on Facebook says, how much influence does Iran have over the Palestinian Authority, Wes?
I think they have quite a bit. They really do, especially when you consider the fact that Iran supports both Hamas and Hezbollah, even though Hamas is sort of, you know, a little bit of an enemy of the traditional Palestinian Authority. All of them share this goal, Jay. All of them call for the killing of Jews and the destruction of the state of Israel. That's what they have in common.
You usually have the Sunni-Shia conflict in there that would keep the Iranians from supporting the Palestinian Authority or Hamas. That's changed now.
I think it's changed a lot, too, because the Palestinian Authority is so irreligious.
Yeah.
You hear in their rhetoric, I mean, Mahmoud Abbas said the most sacred thing they have is their martyrs. Not their faith, not their religion.
Not Muhammad.
But it's political Islamic terrorism. Yeah. So it may be motivated by some kind of faith, but really it's a radical leftism, and also a corruption, and this idea of autocrats that keep power. So I think by that you can get some strange bedfellows there, and Iran will swoop right in whenever they can, because I think who is leaving the void for the Palestinians is that I don't think it's a pet project anymore for the average Saudis, billionaire Saudi or billionaire Qatari or billionaire Egyptian. They're kind of done with this group and done with Mahmoud Abbas as a bargaining partner.
So, Harry, with the economic issues being put on the table in the economic plan, the Trump plan, let's talk about the economic side for a moment. It's very hard. The Palestinian people have seen that. The polls are showing it. It's like 60-70% of the people really like this, what they're seeing.
Absolutely. And so I think it's in the interest of the Palestinian Authority and Palestinian leaders to ignore the support coming from the Palestinian people for peace. I think the Palestinian people recognize that there is an opportunity, perhaps an historic opportunity for peace, which might deliver both security for the Palestinians, but also economic advancement. However, I think, as I said earlier, the clear obstacle to peace is represented by the Palestinian leadership. So they say that the martyrs, the terrorists, in their view, are indeed sacred. But really what is sacred is keeping the faucets of money coming from Middle Eastern interests who continue to support the so-called opposition to Israel. Essentially, what they have decided on is a permanent intifada.
Yeah.
Essentially, they want to destroy the nation of Israel, but in some respects, they don't want to destroy the nation of Israel too soon before they accumulate additional billions of dollars in Western banks.
All right, so let me ask you this, Dan, really quickly, because I want to talk at the end here, but really quickly. You look at now the political makeup of everything, and can a pro-Israel Democrat succeed within the Democratic Party right now? Is there still room? Maybe there is. I'm asking.
Well, I think Democrat voters would give room for that, Jay. I really do, but you don't see any coming out. And I would just tell you this, just to very quickly tie it into the work we're doing this week. This is why we go to the UN, because they're so obsessed with Israel. They pass more censors against Israel than the rest of the world combined. Jay, we go up to put boots on the ground to show them where their work should be focused. As for whether or not the leadership, if a Democrat were elected, would follow the suit, I don't think I'd roll the dice, because the administration that we have right now is charting the right path.
We are in federal court defending the state of Israel. We are in the United Nations raising those issues, as Stan said this week, with a team of five. So that's happening right now. Your support for the ACLJ makes that possible, in addition to our office in Jerusalem. We can't do it without you. We're in a matching challenge campaign. You know what that means. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. So if you donate $25, we get 50, 50 is 100, 100 is 200. You understand how it works. We're about even with last year. We need to pull ahead. Need your help on this. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. It's an easy way to donate. We encourage you to do it with the matching challenge campaign. Great way for you to engage with us again at ACLJ.org. We're going to have a concert Wednesday night on Facebook and Periscope. On our social media platforms, we'll encourage you to do that. We'll have an encore presentation of that, I'm sure, over the weekend as well. So we encourage you to do just that. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family.